Yesterday, Hyaraji explained that in order to know the true nature of Nama Rupa and to gain jnana knowledge, to gain insight knowledge stage by stage, and to develop knowledge and wisdom, one needs Kalyana Mita, a true friend, a true companion. And Hyaraji explained four facts how a Kalyana Mita should be chosen, how Buddha had explained. And yesterday, Hyaraji only explained briefly. Today, Hyaraji will explain in detail. In Visuddhimagga, the Kalyana Mita that is endowed with the seven qualities, who really wants the welfare of others, will never stand on the side that is deteriorating, but the Kalyana Mita will always be standing on the side that is developing, improving. When the person is endowed with these qualities, one can be sure that this person is Kalyana Mita, a true friend, a true companion. So it is mentioned in Visuddhimagga. If one chooses a friend, whether it is a friend or a relative who is inferior than you, who has the same standard with you, or someone who is higher, if you compare the person with these qualities, you will know how many of these qualities the friend or the relative is endowed with. If a person is endowed with these seven qualities, such person can work for the benefit of others. Such person wants the benefits of others, and the person will not be standing on the side. The person will not be standing on the deteriorating side, but the person will be standing on the side that will bring improvement. So it is explained in Visuddhimagga Atthagata, commentary of Visuddhimagga. The person who is loved by others, there are causes that are making the person to be loved by others. One has to look into the cause, the root cause why the person is loved by others. And it is explained in Anguttara Atthagata and Visuddhimagga Mahatika. Kalyana Mita, a true friend, should be endowed with Sada, faith and confidence. Sada Sampanno, a true friend must be endowed with faith and confidence that good deeds bring good result, bad deeds bring bad result. So just as when one takes suitable food, one will be relieved from hunger and thirst, and one will get nutrition. By taking unsuitable food, one can meet harm, such as food poisoning and so on. In the same way, when one performs good action by body, speech and mind, one will get benefits. By performing bad deeds by body, speech, and mind, it will be harmful, just as a harmful kind of food is poisonous. One understands the karma, deed as well as their results. So being endowed with sadha, one believes in good and bad deeds and their good and bad results. Sadhya vatu are things that are worthy of faith and confidence. If something is worthy of faith and confidence, one needs to believe in them. One should understand the virtue of the Dhamma. The virtue of the Dhamma that it is Swakata. The Dhamma is taught systematically. The cause and effect, relevant cause giving effect to relevant effect. In this way, the Dhamma is taught systematically. If one performs good deeds by body, speech, and mind, one will be purified by body, speech, and mind, and thus one will be free from danger and harm. One will be free from frightening danger. So the Dhamma shows the method as well as the result that one, the result one can get by practicing according to the method. By practicing accordingly to the Dhamma, one's mind will get purified, one will discern the truth. So it is Swakata, the Dhamma is taught systematically, and the Dhamma that is very probable. So one should have faith and confidence in the Dhamma. Having faith and confidence in the Dhamma, one also believe in the Sangha who practice Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, morality, concentration, and wisdom. One does also have faith and confidence on existences, the past existence, present existence, and one understands that there are future existences. So one believes in things that are probable, reflecting with the knowledge that one has. And one has faith and confidence that doing good deeds bring good results, doing bad deeds bring bad results. And these good and bad results, which are the result of one's own good and bad deeds, they are making the person to have good well-being as well as bad consequences. Having sadha, having faith and confidence, one will stay away from bad things, bad conduct, just as one will stay away from unhealthy, harmful food. Having faith and confidence, one can perform good deeds by body, speech, and mind. One will refrain from misconduct by body and speech, and thus one will also be endowed with sila, morality. So by doing good deeds, one is fulfilling sila, and one is also endowed with sutta, knowledge. One knows how one should control oneself, to control one's mind and oneself. So by controlling oneself, one is also said to be protecting others from being hurt. Having knowledge of the method, one is also endowed with sutta, knowledge. Endowed with knowledge, one give up bad conduct. So it will be jaga. One is said to be giving up bad conduct. Giving up bad conducts, good things will come and the person's status will be uplifted. So being endowed with sadha, faith and confidence, one is also fulfilling morality, and also one becomes endowed with sutta, knowledge. So such qualities are very precious. One should choose a leader based on the qualities. And Buddha was endowed with Sammasambodhi. Buddha knew everything that should be known by himself. And Buddha was endowed with Sabbanyutanyana, omniscient knowledge. Everything was known by Buddha, by himself, without being taught by others. Buddha being endowed with Sabbanyutanyana, omniscient knowledge, Buddha could guide the beings what the things that are to be refrained, and Buddha guided the things that are to be performed. Buddha was endowed with vicca-charana, knowledge and conduct. And also, Buddha was endowed with mahakaruna, great compassion. If someone knows what things should be refrained from and what things should be performed, but if the person lacks compassion, such person will not be able to prohibit beings from doing misconduct because the person lacks compassion. Only if one has compassion, then one can guide others to refrain from things that should be refrained from. If the person has compassion, but if the person does not have the knowledge of good and bad, then one cannot guide others to stay away, to refrain from the wrong path. So there are two things needed. The first one is, one should have knowledge, understanding what is good and what is bad, what is beneficial and what is harmful. And the second one is, one should have compassion. Having compassion, one can guide others to refrain from things that are harmful, and one can guide others to perform things that are beneficial. The person who is endowed with two things, knowledge, understanding what is beneficial and what is harmful, and the second one, being endowed with compassion. So the person who has these two qualities can be a good leader. So it is very satisfactory to have these two qualities. Being endowed with these two, knowledge and compassion, one can guide others so that others will not do things that are harmful. If they are doing harmful things, then these persons who are doing harmful things will become inferior and they will meet suffering. So one should prohibit beings from doing harmful things. And one should also guide others to do, to perform good things. Performing good things, one will not meet suffering, one will not meet harm, and it will be beneficial. So one should have the knowledge that doing good deeds will bring good results, doing bad deeds will bring bad results. Having such knowledge, one can easily develop sadha, faith and confidence. And one should also cultivate the awakened sadha by practicing, one can increase the sadha that has awakened. So one should practice in order to increase the sadha, in order to make the sadha firm and unshaken. Only if one is endowed with faith and confidence, then one will have faith and confidence on the knowledge of the Buddha. And one will also believe in karma and the results. Buddha knew everything that should be known. Buddha was endowed with sabbanyuta jnana, omniscient knowledge. And the cause of this omniscient knowledge is the great compassion, mahakaruna, great compassion towards all beings. If a person is endowed with sadha, faith and confidence, he, she will believe in Buddha's sabbanyuta jnana, omniscient knowledge, and the cause, mahakaruna, Buddha's great compassion. Having faith and confidence, one will be able to refrain from things that should be refrained from, and one will be able to perform according to the guidance. Being able to refrain from things that are not good, one will not meet harm. Being able to perform things that are good, one will benefit. So one is fulfilling the basics. And such person will be loved by others. One does not need to wish for others' love, but he, she will automatically be loved by others. The person who practices the Dhamma protects, support and help the practitioner. And other people will love the person who practices the Dhamma. So in this way, one will gain benefit. The person who has knowledge will be able to know whether others are good or bad. So in this way, one will have the ability to investigate in a constructive manner who is good and who is bad. Having constructive mind, one can lead others to refrain from bad things. And if one sees others doing inferior things, one should blame and criticize them. So not in the way of blaming and criticizing way, in a destructive manner, but in a constructive way, one should criticize them for their mistakes so that they will be able to correct them. And also, one should be skillful in guiding others, skillful in guiding, advising others, and one should be skillful in pointing out other people's mistakes. And if the followers point out the teacher's mistake, he, she should be able to accept them. So the teacher should not be in the way that I am the teacher, I make the rules, I am right. But if the followers point out the teacher's mistake, the teacher should accept it properly. Saraji gives an example. When Venerable Sariputra's robe were not neat, were not tidy, then the 7-year-old novice told Venerable Sariputra that his robe was not neatly arranged. Venerable Sariputra accepted what the 7-year-old novice said about his robe. We should take example of Venerable Sariputra. Being endowed with morality, sila, the other qualities such as piya, being loved by others, guru, being respected by others, bhavaniya, being developed mitta and karuna by others, papa garahi, the ability to blame, criticize, and point out other people's wrongdoings, vata, having the ability to point out other people's mistake, and vajanakama, the quality of accepting other people's criticism or pointing out. So such qualities will automatically be fulfilled by practicing sila. And Saraji says, when guiding the children, for example, a drug addicted parent will not be able to guide their children not to use drugs. The parent that gambles a lot will not be able to guide the children not to gamble. So that's why parents should be good themselves. Parents should have good behavior in order to be able to guide their children. Gambiranta katankata, in order to have the quality to explain profound dhamma, one should be endowed with sutta knowledge. So there are two kinds of sutta knowledge: agama sutta, theoretical knowledge, and adhikama sutta, knowledge gained through practice. And also, the students that are to listen, they should also have practice to a certain extent in order to understand the teachings. And the teacher must be endowed with theoretical knowledge as well as practical knowledge. And the teacher must have the quality to explain that this is theory, this is practice. When you combine theory and practice, this will be the answer. In this way, teacher should be able to explain very clearly from both theoretical and practical aspect. In order to be a skillful teacher, to explain both theory and practice, the teacher must have dual quality of theory and practice. So, the teacher must have theory, theoretical and practical knowledge, being able to explain the Four Noble Truths, cause and effect, paticca-samuppada, dependent origination, and according to Anguttara Arthagata, jhana, absorption, vipassana, insight, and magaphala, path and fruition knowledge, which are deep and profound, the teacher should be able to explain them skillfully. In order to explain the four satya, the four noble truths, theory alone, theoretical explanation alone will not be easy for understand, easy for others to understand. So one should practice in order to know dukkha satya, the truth of suffering. The whole body is a truth of suffering. Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching are suffering. So based on these truths of suffering, if one takes them as good, if one thinks seeing is good and pleasant, hearing is good and pleasant, one can become attached in it. There will be craving, tanha, and this craving is the origin of suffering. So the teacher should explain that the craving, the attachment on seeing and hearing, they are the origin of suffering, and the cessation of these cause and effect is called Nirodha. In order to gain Nirodha, in order to gain the truth of cessation, one has to practice the three trainings, Sila, Samadhi, Panya, morality, concentration, and wisdom. In other words, one has to practice the four noble, one has to practice the eightfold noble path in order to gain cessation. So one should be practicing the eightfold noble path so that one will be knowing things that should be known, one will be abandoning things that should be abandoned, one will realize things that should be realized, and one will be developing things that should be developed. So the teacher should explain that, analyzing these, the eight noble paths. For example, at the moment of sitting down, from standing position, there is a series of intention to sit down and a series of actual sitting down. So they are dukkha satya, truth of suffering. If one does not note at the moment of arising, one will not know this dukkha satya. It will be dukkhe anyana. One will not know the truth of suffering. And also, one will know wrongly. If one doesn't know, there will be attachment, craving. By noting at the moment of their arising, one understands cause and effect, impermanent suffering and non-self. Knowing correctly, one will not have attachment or craving that can arise by lack of knowledge. So knowing the truth, these craving and attachment that can arise due to lack of knowledge, these craving will have no chance to arise. By discerning dukkha satya, truth of suffering, one will overcome craving. If one does not know the truth, there can be craving. So by discerning the truth of suffering, by discerning through practice, one can overcome this craving attachment. So by knowing correctly, one abandons the craving that can arise. If there is not knowing, then avijja, ignorance, will be developed. Knowing correctly, avijja, ignorance, will be dispelled. Knowing correctly, one will not crave. One will be overcoming craving by discerning mind and matter. By discerning mind and matter, one understands that there is no jiva atta, individual soul. So the person is overcoming wrong view. In this way, avijja, ignorance, tanha, craving, and upadana, clinging, will be ceasing, and it will be nirodha satta. So, knowing the truth, one will not be doing good and bad deeds that will further lead to further existences. So one will only be doing vivadagami kusala. One will only be doing wholesome merits that will not lead to further existences. So if one does not do good and bad deeds that can further lead to further existences, then vipakavata, round of resultant, will be cut. So, if one can note the object efficiently, if you analyze the noting, there will be sila, samadhi, panya, morality, concentration, and panya involved in each noting. So one should be noting the object with effort, with sustained mindfulness, and concentration, samadhi, will be developed. When the noting mind falls calm and collected on the object, one will know the truth. Having samadhi, when the mind is calm and collected, one will know the truth, and thus one also develops knowledge. So by noting every single second, one is also said to be developing the Eightfold Noble Path every single second. And also the three trainings, sila, samadhi, panya, morality, concentration, and wisdom, are also practiced. If one does not know dukkha satta, the truth of suffering, then one cannot abandon tanha, craving. So if one fails to abandon tanha, then avijja, tanha, upadana, ignorance, craving, and clinging cannot be abandoned. By noting the presently arising object, one is developing the Eightfold Noble Path, and thus one is abandoning avijja, tanha, upadana, ignorance, craving, and clinging. In this way, the teacher should be able to explain the Four Noble Truths from both theory and practice, and so that the students will also be performing vivadagami kusala, the meritorious deed that will not lead them to further assistances. In this way, suffering will also be abandoned. If the yogis are advised only to note the mind, but not noting the physical activities, not noting the feelings and sensations, then these yogis are failing to observe things that are to be observed. yogis will be failing to observe the Dukkha Satya if they fail to observe physical activities and the feelings. Failing to observe these Dukkha Satya, avijja, tanha, and upadana, ignorance, craving, and clinging, will not be abandoned. Kilesa vata, round of defilements, will not be abandoned, and thus it will lead to kamma vata, round of good and bad deeds, that will further lead to vipaka vata, round of resultant, and thus suffering will continue. Buddha did not say in any of the texts that one should only be practicing citta nupassana. So there is nowhere in the text that mentioned that citta nupassana alone should be practiced. One should be observing dukkha satya, the materiality dukkha satya, feeling dukkha satya, and also other general activities which are also dukkha satya. So in oneself there are these materialities, feelings, and other activities arising, and one should be noting them continuously. If one does not note these materiality, feelings, and other mental objects, it will be dukkhe ajnana. One will not know the truth of suffering. One will know wrongly, and it will not be according to the teaching of the Buddha. So one should think whether one is practicing according to the teaching of the Buddha. So Buddha had taught that one should be noting the primary object, the materiality, which is most obvious. And when other object arises, when other kind of mind is more obvious, then one should go on to note them. And when feelings become obvious, one should note these feelings and then come back to the primary object. And when doing walking meditation, yogis should be noting the primary object, lifting, moving, and placing. But there has been some criticism that observing, lifting, moving, placing during the walking, it is a waste of time. So there has been some criticism. And some of them have been criticizing that being mindful and eating is very funny and ridiculous. So there has been such criticism as well. So it is very important to be practicing according to the teaching of the Buddha. If they are doing such criticism, they are insulting the Buddha, they are insulting the Dhamma. So they should be very careful not to be insulting the Buddha or the Dhamma. They should not be criticizing these things. Some of the people, they are not well versed. They do not know the scriptures, the teaching of the Buddha. They practice in the way they think it is right, and then they become notebook teachers. So one should seek Kalayana Mita, the guidance of a true friend. And in practicing Satipatthana meditation, one should be observing the Dukkha Satya, the object that is arising at the present moment. By knowing the Dukkha Satya, other Satya, the other noble truth, will also be known. So by knowing Dukkha Satya, other Satya will also be known. And when the yogi practices further, he, she will be developing vipassana knowledge stage by stage. And finally, when the knowledge becomes matured, yogi will discern nirodha satya, the truth of suffering, by attaining magaphala jnana, path and fruition knowledge. When the yogi attains cessation, when the yogi attains magaphala jnana, path and fruition knowledge, yogi realizes nirodha satya, truth of suffering. By realizing nirodha satya, truth of suffering, other satya, dukkha satya, truth of by realizing nirodha satya, by realizing truth of cessation, yogi automatically discerns other satya, dukkha satya, truth of suffering, smuddha satya, truth of origin of suffering, and also one automatically develops magga satya, the truth of this path of path leading to cessation. So in this way, by discerning nirodha satya, one automatically discerns dukkha satya, abandons mudya satya, and develop magga satya. In the beginning of the practice, it is said that by discerning dukkha satya, the other satya will also be known. As the yogi had realized nibbana, the yogi discerns nirodha satya, truth of cessation, and thus other noble truths are also discerned. So in the beginning of the practice, when the yogi is observing the dukkha satya, the objects that are arising at the present moment, by knowing dukkha satya, the other three satya will be abandoned, realized, and developed. When the yogi has gained vipassana knowledge stage by stage, and finally, when the yogi had attained nibbana, by attaining nibbana, he, she realizes nirodha satya, truth of cessation, and also the other three will be discerned, abandoned, and developed. So it is said that four at a blow, by realizing nibbana, by realizing nirodha satya, the other three will also be discerned, abandoned, and developed. When the person gets to this stage, when the person has gotten to this stage, then the person makes the profit of giving up kama sukha, sensual pleasure, giving up mila sukha, the happiness and pleasure that is compared to feces, anariya sukha, the kind of happiness enjoyed by impure beings, mida sukha, the happiness.
Purujana sukha.
Putujana sukha, the kind of happiness that is enjoyed by the worldly beings, mida sukha, the kind of happiness taking easy relaxation. So when the yogi attains this nirodha satya, it is worthy of giving up such kind of happiness and pleasure that has no guarantee. Giving up these pleasures, yogi gains nikkhama sukha, paviveka sukha, and upasama sukha, which have guarantee. When the person gets to this stage, the person will not take highly of the happiness and pleasure that are enjoyed by the worldly beings, the person will become apesata. The person will be content with whatever he or she has. The person will not be desiring a lot of these pleasure. And the person enjoys being alone. The person enjoys the seclusion away from the companionship of person or defilements. And the person will not think highly of the kind of pleasure one gets by coming into contact with good sounds, the pleasure one can get by talking face to face with somebody else, the kind of pleasure that can be gained by human touch. One will not be thinking highly of these sensual pleasure. By giving up the sensual pleasure, one gains the happiness that has a guarantee, and such person will not take high esteem of existences. And Sarah G will continue to explain the next day. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.